Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Trusted Leader Podcast. I'm really excited to have a friend and colleague on the show today. I'd like to introduce you to Naeem Mahmood. Now, Naeem is a world-renowned peak performance coach and keynote speaker. He spent years working with Tony Robbins, delivered over 2,000 talks and trainings on the topics of psychology and peak performance. He advises Fortune 500 companies, executives, and entrepreneurs in the areas of leadership, organizational development, psychology, achievement, and sales mastery. He's advised some of the top organizations, including SoFi, the U.S. Army, Salesforce, University of Alabama. And we have a shared commitment to bring passion, inspire people to help achieve their fullest potential. So, Naeem, thanks for joining us today. Where are you joining us from?
Absolutely, Sean. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you for having me. I'm joining from San Juan, Puerto Rico currently.
All right. A little warmer down there.
Yeah.
So the reason I thought you'd be such a great guest is because you have such a broad experience working with so many leaders from so many different backgrounds, talking about this bigger theme of how do you provide leadership in an era where so many things are changing. So many people are dealing with kind of their personal well-being and all those things like never before. For leaders, this can be a lot coming in, and you've been at the crossroads of this. So first off, I'd just love to get some of your observations. What do you observe in your position that a lot of leaders are dealing with that they might not appreciate our shared experiences with other leaders?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question, Sean. So I'd say it always starts, and this is why I love the work you do too, right? It starts with our mindset and our psychology. But a big challenge leaderships have, again, it starts with their psychology, and it's really learning to manage our own emotional state, our own psychology, our own mindset, our own stories and beliefs about what's happening. Because one of the biggest challenges I see when I do work with companies and I go in and meet with them, and they usually have teams and that are ranging from 5 people to 500 people. And a big common thread is the leader usually blames the team. And then when I talk to the team usually blames the leader. So it's kind of like, what's going on here, right? So it's really helping people take ownership and flipping the script a little bit and be like, hey, we got to take ownership and responsibility for the results that we're producing. And again, especially if you're the leader, the biggest chokehold on any business, I always tell the leader, it's yourself. So we got to take ownership. And then once we do that, then we can start making the changes. And the cool thing is then you actually do start seeing changes in your team because it does start from the top down.
You just mentioned one of those perennial issues. You walk into a situation, they know there's a problem. One side is saying, well, that's the problem over there. Well, that person's pointing team. What do you find has to happen in order to begin to break that up?
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing that has to happen is just some openness to some self-reflection and some honesty and having the awareness and also establishing, and again, I love the work you're doing, establishing trust, because it all does start too with trust. Trust is a foundational element for business, for relationships, and it's really trust with ourselves first. Because most people, they don't have trust in themselves. And they usually, again, right away, they're kind of looking to outside sources. That's why they do want to bring in an outside person like yourself, like myself, a consultant. But again, if we don't have that foundational connection with ourselves and take ownership with ourselves, it's not going to matter who you bring in to start. So I'd say it really, again, starts with that, really just building that connection with ourselves, establishing trust with ourselves, establishing trust with our team after that, and then we can start to make some really cool shifts.
Yeah, you raise an interesting topic that I don't normally get into, but when we're talking about building trust in organizations, most people think outwardly.
Yep.
How do you build it with customers, amongst your teams? When you go deep enough, it circles all the way back around to, wait a second, not trusting yourself. And I think that would actually be a really interesting topic to unpack here, especially in the Tony Robbins world and your other work. You're dealing with a lot of entrepreneurs. Right now, you're working with a lot of people in the crypto and Web3 world, which has gone through a lot of its own changes. It would be good to hear, I think it would be good for other entrepreneurs and leaders to hear what other people struggle with, because I think what we're always trying to chip away at is the pretense that leaders are carrying around, the way that they think they need to be to their employees, to their shareholders, to their customers.
Yep.
And how that really robs them of a lot of power versus kind of what you're getting down to. Like, so when you start to interact with leaders, what do you have to kind of peel through in order to get down to the core? What are some of the barriers that you see are commonly in place?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sean. And most people don't want to go there. And then also the two cool thing is too, that the peak performers, the top performers, they do go there. Right. So it's really, again, asking those foundational reflective questions where it's like, why am I doing this to begin with? Because people don't even know why they're even wanting to build a company or wanting to climb the corporate ladder or wanting to lead a Fortune 500 company. And a lot of us are just caught in that that default programming. And I was too, when I was working on Wall Street, and I was just kind of caught up in the societal, my family expectations and things like that. So I'd say it starts with that. It's like really having an evaluation with yourself on, hey, why am I doing this? What's the reason? And this goes down to the purpose, right? And also, it's like I tap into my purpose, my reasons for doing my work on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. And it doesn't need to be a deep, intense thing. It's literally just kind of reconnecting with your core purpose. So I'd say that. And then also, we all have stories and belief systems, again, that sometimes develop, create noise and get in the way, again, for our real reasons for doing things and why we're even showing up. So it's also like, what is the story you're telling yourself about who you need to be, your work, the image you need to present to people? Because also a lot of us are trying to, especially in a place like New York City and or LA or San Francisco or wherever that might be, a lot of us are caught up in the again, just keeping up with the Joneses and just the status driven culture, right? So it's also
right,
get breaking through some of those stories and being honest and real with ourselves. And one thing I love about, I don't know if Naval Ravikant, I love how he talks about just being totally authentic with ourselves, because nobody can compete with your authentic version of yourself, but they can compete with you trying to be like the next Tony Robbins or the next Mark Benioff or the next Richard Branson or whoever the person is. But if you are truly authentically leading from your true self and with your heart, then nobody can compete with you. So that's kind of cool when you play in that sandbox.
And one of the pieces that needs to be dealt with in order to be your authentic self is all of the areas that you were pointing to where we are inauthentic.
Mm-hmm.
You may have heard this. I cannot find the study on this. I don't know if this could ever be corroborated, but there was something like most startup founders are just trying to impress their parents, and that's the only reason they're founding their companies. Now, I've run that by a lot of VCs and they all can see that pattern. So when we get down to, well, how do I be an authentic leader? It first means confronting these things you're pointing to. Well, why are you really doing this? Are you doing it for status? Are you doing it because they told you it was good? Are you doing it because you actually don't feel significant enough and you need to have some significance? But like you said, that can be, these are all topics that people can really want to avoid. How do you get people to get warmed up to confronting some of these things that might really upset the foundation of their life?
That's a great question. And I'm going to dip into that. And before I do, though, real quick, I love what you said. And a lot of people are driven by that, living up to others' expectations, and also this feeling of not enoughness. And it's kind of part of the human condition, right? Like our main drivers are to be loved. And a lot of times our fear of not being enough is because we're not going to be loved by, and usually our parents, obviously, right? Or whoever that person or the people are that raised us. But I'm reading Elon Musk's biography, and I love reading biographies because it kind of gives you a sneak peek into the under the hood of the mindset of these amazing people. And Elon Musk too, it's like he has so many demons with his dad, right? And he has a lot of his drive comes from him not being good enough, not like, and wanting to prove to his dad, and like this is anger. And again, no judgment, it's just observation. But and the wild thing is, again, that actually manifests now a lot in his relationship with his employees, with his current wife and his ex-wives and his kids and his family. So it is really, I love
Right.
how you are bringing that question up, because it's really having the courage to ask these fundamental questions of like, why am I doing this? And how do I take a moment to be honest with myself? And which goes back to what you're doing, and I'll transition to this, the question you actually just asked. How do I do it? Is people having to be, people need to be wanting to do it, right? Like you can't, nobody can do it for you. You have to want to do this work, and you have to be open to being vulnerable. And it does start again with the flip side of trust. It's honesty, right? We have to be honest, and again, with ourselves, because again, nobody can do the work for you. I can't do my your push-ups for you. Same with this, like you can't do the personal growth work for your my clients, and you can't do it for your clients. So it's like you got to be honest with yourself. So it's like taking the time to really just sit down and answer some fundamental questions, which sometimes might make you feel a little bit uncomfortable. And the only reason they feel uncomfortable is because obviously, again, you're getting out of your comfort zone. But the cool thing is, over time, if you do it more and more, kind of like going to the gym, this too, Sean, because you do the work, which is why I love the work you're doing out there in the world. You've worked on yourself, you've been to personal growth events, and you continue to do it, and you do that with your clients. After time, like again, in the beginning, going to the gym, it's a pain in the butt, but now I actually love going to the gym. So the same with this is like I used to hate going to a seminar or like pausing to journal things and like ask these questions or meditate. And now it's like I love it because I'm addicted to it, because it helps me grow and I perform at such a higher level, and I can build better relationships and help more people and have such more impactful work. So I'd say, to answer your question a little more succinctly, it's really just having the honesty with ourselves to really just answer some fundamental questions and wanting to do that.
And a lot of that does seem to occur like a nice to have for a lot of people. I think that's one of the things you and I bump up against. People think they don't have time for it. They don't. They're too busy doing what they're doing. And of course, usually only when the pain is bad enough, that's when people seek help, like most things. But I love how you come back to that. You actually have to focus on yourself first. And we have this kind of concept that the leader really shapes the limitations of their business. Who the leader is being gives everybody else their cues for what kind of culture we're going to have. So this, I'm very interested in expanding this conversation of how do you go from a nice to have to this is an imperative. And I think your example of Elon is a really interesting and provocative one, because while he may be the richest man in the world, he's going down the exact same road as many other iconic people, where great, you had money, but how are your relationships, your children? You're manifesting everything that you tried to avoid in your father. And obviously, the public clown car that has become some of these enterprises now. And so, I'm curious to know if what you deal with people who are grappling at that point, like, can I get away with this any longer? Or do you see that it's ultimately going to manifest in a breakdown? So start doing your work now.
And I love what you said about going back to the leadership piece again. If we have to lead, the first person we have to lead is ourselves, because it is leading my, I have to lead myself to wake up at in the morning and go to the gym. I have to lead myself to get up and meditate. I have to lead myself to make my sales calls. I have to lead myself to make sure I invest time with my girlfriend and give her the love and care and passion that she deserves. So it starts with learning how to lead ourselves. Then you could again go out and lead other people. So same with the trust, right? We have to first trust ourselves, be honest with ourselves, then it can ripple out. To answer the question you just asked, I'd say again, people need to want it. I would say it does come in cycles. Some people have maybe never get to that point, right? Some people and some people, most people actually do wait till the pain builds up enough where, oh, now I should really take care of this because my marriage is falling apart. Or, oh, now I should really take care of my health because I'm gonna have a heart attack, or I had a heart attack, or I have cancer, or I have diabetes. So that's how most people operate, where it's like the procrastination, they wait until it gets painful enough to like, oh, I should actually do something. And some people actually, it's still not enough and they still don't do anything. And ultimately,
Right.
there's no judgment here, right, on either of our sides. It's more just observation. And ultimately, it's for everybody to decide how they want to live the life, what kind of life they want to lead. But for the people that do want to make these changes, and I'm assuming people that are listening to this podcast, they're the type of people that do want to make these changes,
Right.
then it's like developing the habit where, and I was talking to a client the other day about this, it's like, again, most people wait to the pain to come to them. We want to go to the pain, right? Instead of me waiting for the doctor saying, "Hey, Naeem, my cholesterol is high, or my blood pressure is high, or whatever. I need to do this to take care of my heart health." It's like, "Oh no, I should be doing cardio. I should be getting those tests before." So it doesn't feel good to go do cardio. It doesn't feel good to go take time out of my day to go get like a DEXA scan. But I'm bringing the pain to me, so the pain doesn't hit me like a wall one day out of nowhere.
Right.
So we want to build that habit in our business, with our team, with our employees, with ourselves, by meditation and doing these questions and reflecting and going to events, hiring a coach, and all that stuff.
And you're correct. Nobody who's resisting that conversation is probably listening to this podcast or going to Tony Robbins. Obviously the people showing up there are there for something. They're eager to be on the self-development journey. What do you see as some of the primary mindset shifts that they need to go through? What's often there that you find that, boy, if you just start to identify that and shift it to this, starts to make a profound difference? Are there any common themes that pop up?
Yeah, sure. I'd say a common one that most people would probably maybe not admit to is really just shifting out of the victim mentality. Because most people, they think life's happening to them, right? Life is unfair. They're blaming somebody or something, especially in today's world. And this is where, again, everything happens in seasons and cycles, but people aren't aware of it because there's different time frames, right? The seasons of the year happen every year, spring, summer, winter, fall. But also there's some seasons that happen every 20 years, some happen every 100 years, some happen every 1,000 years, and even hundreds of millions of years, but some of us will obviously never see. Well, none of us will ever see. But the point is, one is shifting out of that mentality of, like, again, in today's world, there's a really good book that summarizes it called The Fourth Turning. But basically, we're going through a fourth turning right now, where, again,
Right.
people are talking about, like, oh, like, well, COVID happened, and like there's a lot of demonization, a lot of divisiveness, and people are looking for scapegoats a lot, right? It's a lot of like throwing fire at people, right? And that's a season
Right.
we're going through. And it actually takes about 10, 20 years to go through this season. So right now it's that season of like, it's kind of extra, like extra, where it's the victim mentality, right? How dare you say that to me, Sean? Like, you have no permission to speak to me that way. And like, so it's more like, and ultimately though, when people come to like a Tony Robbins event or come to a personal growth event, one of the big shifts that people need to make is going from, oh, like, you can't say anything, Sean, that could actually hurt my feelings. I let you hurt my feelings if you say anything to me, because I have total autonomy. I have ownership, but people don't realize that or take that on. So I'd say that's like a fundamental shift. And again, people might know it intellectually, but it's also, again, practicing that and training that in our nervous system. So again, nothing in the world, the economy, if the crypto markets dump, or the stock market dumps, or you lose your job, or your business implodes, it's like nothing has the ability to control how you feel, how you show up, and what you want to create in the world. All these things are temporary. So when you have that, it might not feel good in the moment because it's a little painful realization. But then the cool thing is that gives you the ownership to go out and really be an owner and a controller of your destiny. Because most people, again, it's that, I think it was Thoreau who said, right, most people are living lives of quiet desperation versus really just owning their circumstances.
And I think that's amplified in this current era and probably will be for the next decade or two. I love that you mentioned the fourth turning. Big plug for that book, because I think it brings a lot of rhyme and reason to a lot of the disparate stressors that are happening out there. So for people who do feel like, hey, our systems are breaking down, our political systems, we've got the so all of those have the effect of making us feel like we're the victim of circumstance. It also uncovers an expectation that the world is supposed to be a certain way. Again, adding to the potential victim mentality, like, well, if I'd be great if only that. So one of the things I notice is people who have a lot of responsibility, like leaders of companies, founders, they already feel like they're under a lot of duress. What they might not recognize is so are all of their people, all of their teammates, all of the people that they're relying on. So when it comes to this leadership conversation, I love that you're focusing on the nervous system, the psychological and even emotional, spiritual well-being, if you want to call it that, because it means taking people on a journey to go through this. And now the acronym VUCA is now being used more widely: volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. So with leaders leading their people, have you been developing any practices for them to be more effective in this kind of chaotic environment? Like, what could a leader do to kind of keep themselves rooted, grounded, and be that leader for their people who are experiencing the same?
Totally, yeah. And one thing I would add to that too is, and part of the answer I'm going to tell you is, it's really just, again, managing the story. Because the best time to like build a company or to make money or to make a difference or make an impact is when the world is falling apart and like burning down. So like this is more of like a gold, this is more of like a goldmine moment than a recession and a bad time, right? Most people feel like it is a recession, right? And we honestly, I think we have a long way to go to dig ourselves out of this hole, and there's more pain coming. But again, it's reframing the story. So to answer your question, one tool is really just taking people through a process where they actually reframe what this actually means. Because most people, again, they think the world is ending, and then that puts them in a state of paralysis. They don't do anything. Versus like now is the best opportunity. Like the biggest companies, the biggest entrepreneurs and titans of industry come about usually in down times. So it's reframing that story of like, oh, when there's winter, that's actually a good thing, because that's actually when you build muscle, you get stronger, there's opportunity. Most people are in fear, which Warren Buffett loves. Warren Buffett loves when everybody's scared. Then he's like, oh, cool, now I can go buy things for really deep discounts and take advantage of the markets. So that's one thing I would say. I help leaders reframe what it means, what the challenge means, because it's really an opportunity and a time to grow and become better and lead your team. And again, when you could do that, learn another answer I'd give you is learning how to manage their psychology and their emotional state, which is part of the reason I call the talk The Psychology of Peak Performance. Because again, it's a psychology of how can you actually manage this machine up here. This, we talk about AI is amazing, and it's about prompting the AI. People don't even know how to prompt their own mindset and their nervous system and their psychology. So really learning how to prompt our AI, right? Our mindset, our nervous system, our psychology, our body, to actually be resilient, be certain, be confident in even when the world is burning down around us. And I'll give really quick one to manage our emotional state. Number one, it's our focus. Because we're, again, we've all heard it, where your focus goes, your energy flows. But most people don't know how to manage their focus. So most people are asking, and one simple way to manage your focus is to ask more empowering questions. And a lot of times we're asking questions, we're not even aware of the question we're asking. So if you're in like a funky state, or you're confused or depressed or anxious or angry or whatever it is, you might just not be asking a good question. And again, as we've, questions are the answer. So it's like Bill Gates, when he started Microsoft, his question was, how can I be the intelligence that runs all computers? That's how he built Microsoft. Like if you focus on that question versus most people's question, it's like, why isn't my team doing what I need them to do? Or why isn't my company growing? Or why is it so hard? Like those are terrible questions. Imagine asking ChatGPT those questions versus like, how can I build my company to empower more people by doing X, Y, and Z? Like, right? So it's learning how to ask better questions and training yourself. But then it's like training yourself and reminding yourself, because then it's also the habit of doing it.
Right.
So that's number one. Go ahead. If you, I think you might have a comment there or a question there.
No, by the way, Hal Gregersen, the author of The Questions Are the Answer. That's one of my favorite books. And you're really pointing to the blind spots that people are all unwittingly carrying around. Like really, like how do I access, like I've got beliefs and assumptions about what is going on out here, and I've made some decisions about how I need to be, how I need to act, what the situation actually is. And what you're really saying is like be willing to reevaluate all of that. Be willing to look for those implicit assumptions. So no, I want you to go back to your other two here, because I mean I think addressing the somatic system is so important here.
And I love what you said. That book sounds amazing. I want to check that out. And then the other thing is also me too, right? And you too, because we're human. It's part of being human. So we have to, again, train ourselves to continuously do it. So it's not like, again, a one-time thing. Like you don't meditate once and you're done. You don't work out once and you're done. And this is where also going back to the other question, it just popped up in my head. It's training ourselves to love that process. Because before I used to avoid, I used to wanted to never work. I hated working hard. I wanted to not do anything. I wanted to make enough money so I could be on a beach and do nothing all day. And I've done that, and then you get bored, right? So it's like you want to train yourself and have a mindset where it's like you want to do the work, right? Like fall in love with the work. Because that's really, again, if you want to make a difference, build something big, make a lot of money, whatever it is your goal is, run a marathon, climb Mount Everest, like you want to train yourself to like love that process of doing it all, right? Like Sam Walton, I read his biography. He loved, even when he was like 70, already a multi-billionaire crushing it, like he still would do the stuff he did when he was in like 20s, going to other retail stores and like look at the inventory, even though that was like the grunt work, because he just loved the process, right?
Well, and that points to a big piece here is that we do live inside this illusion that whatever it is that I want is out there. So whether you're talking about meditating, journaling, working out, they all have this common feature of actually going inward and being present here and now. Like this is the moment to cultivate. And too often, and I've dealt with a lot of stressed out leaders who just trying to get them to sit down and do some breath work to calm down their nervous system, I find myself talking myself blue in the face. If they're stressed out, it's the last thing they want to do, even though it's the one thing that would actually create the interruption that they need. And so I find it funny that we tend to avoid all of the things that would be of help. They all just happen to be the things that bring us into the present moment where we could actually reassess, we could see a new vision, where you could take new actions from there. So yeah, any pointers for people to do that? We should probably do the service of airing out here.
I agree, man, 100%. And with that, it's trusting yourself again, but also trusting life. Because it's like people, again, we're conditioned to think it's out there. But again, it's if you just trust life, or again, if you want to get esoteric a little bit, trust the universe. It's like everything is happening with divine timing. Like the fact that you're alive in this day and age is like the greatest blessing in the world. If you live in America, like Warren Buffett says, you won the lottery. Like the fact that you and I were born in America is like one out of like 10,000 or something. I don't even know, right? So we're, and that just goes back to trusting the universe and trusting life. So I love your foundational piece that you bring to the world, which is trust. And it's everywhere. It's such a foundational key piece for human performance to perform at a high level and to make an impact.
So, what can people do to stage a self-intervention? If they find themselves being stressed out, they're listening to this, they can hear, oh yeah, I do have some blind spots here. I am getting a little pessimistic, feeling maybe a little victim thing. What are some of the steps one can take to get recentered and start to take some steps?
For sure, yeah. I'll answer that by finishing up the answer that I didn't finish about the other two ways to manage your emotional state. Well, one is I would do the focus, right? Ask a better question. And it could literally be as simple as, what can I do to make myself feel better right now? Right? Maybe it's go for a walk. Maybe it's take a cold shower. Maybe it's listen to a podcast like this. The second way is our language patterns, right? So it's managing our language. And a lot of it is unconscious in our brain running on repeat like a record. We have over 60,000 thoughts a day on average. And most of them are the same things we've been saying 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, because we don't update our operating system. So I'd say
Right.
get taking control of our language internally and externally, and also the language you say outside. Some people, again, a client the other day, he's like, it's a battle dealing with my growing my company. I'm like, how does that make you feel being in a battle? Right. So the words we use are very powerful versus like, oh, it's a dance building my company, or it's a game, or it's a sport, whatever word makes you feel alive and more excited and more juiced up. So taking control of our language is another way. And then the third
Right.
way, it's actually the most effective way and the most immediate way, which most people don't do first. They try to go to the thoughts, which is great, right? Positive thinking is great, but the most effective way and the most immediate way is our physiology, which is why I loved you talked about the somatic. Because a lot of people know this stuff intellectually, and that's where smart, especially smart people, whatever that means, right? Smart people outsmart themselves because, like, oh, I know this. So a lot of things I'm talking about, you're talking about, people know it. But
Right.
Tony would always say, I don't care if you know it, I care if you do it. So don't psych yourself out or trick yourself, like, oh, I know this. So physiology, and it literally is subtle. Like, obviously, if you go for a run, that'll be awesome, right? It'll change your physiology. Take a cold shower, that'll be great. You can't be angry. I guarantee anybody that's listening to this podcast, if you're angry or depressed or frustrated, go jump in a cold plunge or a cold shower. You can't stay angry and depressed, right? It's going to change your physiology, your biochemistry, your somatic energy field. So that's why, or another simple way is breath work, right? If you're feeling stressed out, anxiety, like take pause even for a minute and do some deep breathing. And there's different types of breathing. There's box breathing, which is great. That'll calm you down, literally just like a box, right? So there's different types of breath work you could do. So to answer your question, I'd say that I would start with physiology. Be like, hey, what can I do right now to shift my physiology even for a minute? And it could be as simple, if I'm in a meeting where I'm not going to go do 50 push-ups or go for a run. If I'm in a meeting and I'm aware and I'm catch myself, maybe I could just bring my shoulders back 2 millimeters. Maybe I could just start breathing instead of in my chest, like most people do when they're nervous or anxious. Make sure I just breathe into my belly. Nobody will notice. You will, and you'll have a more clear mind, and you'll be able to perform better.
Well, I just straightened my spine and started breathing more deeply, just as you were saying that.
Yeah.
I don't think people appreciate how our sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system can
Yep.
so quickly be altered, even in just taking five deep breaths and slowing it down, much less. I'm a big proponent of Wim Hof and some of
Yeah.
the maybe the more hardcore stuff where you can legitimately alter your neurobiochemistry inside of 15 minutes in a very profound way and really balance out
Yep.
some of the stress chemicals that are floating around. Did it this morning.
Yeah.
Boy, calm, clear, focused energy for hours.
Exactly. And I
So.
love how you said the parasympathetic is sympathetic nervous system, because for people that don't like the mindset esoteric stuff, this is a scientific thing. I interviewed the data scientist at Whoop. She studies the psychology of physiological performance, right? So again, biochemical processes and our
Right.
sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems, like that's real science and real data. And if you learn, like people learn how to fly these private jets that are worth 50 million bucks, and we don't take the time to understand how our sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system work and how to operate it. So I love that you brought that up.
Yeah, really great. And by the way, I think we should also, since we're on this topic, just point out that we are all being impacted. Our screens, our digital addictions have a profound effect on our dopamine levels, our pleasure seeking, our sense of burnout and apathy, things like that.
Yeah.
I think we all struggle with it to some degree, but by paying special attention and educating yourself on that, especially if you're a leader and you are responsible for the lives and the well-being and the productivity and the cooperation of multiple groups of people, it becomes even more of an imperative and to lead by example and provide those kinds of resources as well, because everybody's dealing with their well-being these days.
Yep. And we're all leaders. Even if you don't have a company or don't work for a company, if you're a mom or a dad, you're a leader, right?
Right.
Even if you're not, right? If you just are a human being on this earth, you're a leader. Because again, you're leading yourself, and there's people that are looking to you for leadership, whether you're aware of it or not.
Right. And that's all inside this big theme of unleashing what's available for people, their potential, their highest self, their highest impact that they want to have. So before we wrap up, any last words or any last sentiments you'd like to express on that theme?
It's really about the ultimate form of leadership, in my opinion, is the desire to serve others. I find that the most effective leaders are really do truly want to give back and care about other human beings and want to make a difference in the world, right? And that's when I started making bigger shifts in my ability to lead, when it became less about myself and like my success and how I show up and how I sound when I'm speaking on stage, or how big I build my company, or how much money I make, or whatever it is, or how big my podcast grows. That stuff will take care of itself. And like, oh, how can I like serve these people, but genuinely, not intellectually, again, in your body, somatically, in your heart, in your soul, in your body. And then the cool thing is, a lot of the things that were problems or blocks or places where you did have a lack of trust in yourself or other people, it kind of fades away, because trust really also comes from a fear. And also, fear does go away if you're less focused on yourself. So right now, if I'm focused on the people I'm connecting with and reaching and supporting and serving and the lives I'm impacting, even if it's just one person, it's like the fear disappears, whether or not I trust myself disappears, because then I tap into a higher source and a higher power that's beyond me, and then I can show up as a much effective leader.
And I think you just nailed it with getting up to something bigger than yourself. And sometimes leaders who haven't discovered that hear it as just another thing to add to my already full plate. When really you're talking about, how do I actually empower my people with what is in their way and removing their obstacles? And those are the leaders who go on to have some of the biggest transformations because they get that their leadership is actually in empowering other leaders. And
You nailed it, dude.
yeah, those victim leaders suddenly go to being like, oh, that's what you meant when you said servant leader. I thought it was this, kumbaya kind of thing. No, I really get it now. So it is that paradigm shift. And like you said, starting with your somatics, your mental state, the questions that you're engaged in, and all that. So, Naeem, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. Thanks for bringing your wealth of experience. Where can people reach you?
Absolutely, Sean. It was a pleasure being on the show with you. I love the work you're doing. I love that you're out there
Thank you.
bringing the message to the world, and we're all aligned in our mission. So thank you for that, and thank you for having me. For people to reach me, they can reach me on across social media at my name, at Naeem Mahmood. I'm sure maybe we'll drop my full name or links in the show notes. And then my YouTube is active, my Twitter, my Instagram, my podcast, I would say, is a great place to check out Peak Humans,
Great
which
podcast.
me and you just had an awesome episode that people are loving. So if anybody wants to hear that, they should go check it out. It's a few episodes back that I had with Sean, which has a lot of gems in there. And my website is naeemmahmood.com.
Right. Well, thanks again. Go out and enjoy the warmth in San Juan while we freeze up here in the Northeast, okay?
Absolutely, man. I'll send some sunshine and some rays of light to you.
Thank you for it.
Absolutely.